Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Heel DIY stand tall at the end of NXT TakeOver Phoenix. I am Luke Owen. This is El Fakeador Laurie Blake, and welcome to the post-NXT TakeOver Phoenix Wrestle Ramble, where we're going to be kicking off talking about probably the big story. I mean, it's the biggest story in NXT for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Because it's been the most consistent story in NXT for the last couple of years, and that is the downward spiral of Johnny Gargano over the last few months.
Or is it an upward spiral now?
Well, here we go. Therein lies the rub, as Hamlet would say. I think it's from Hamlet, anyway. So Johnny Gargano, like,
therein lies the rub was 50 Shades of Grey, wasn't it?
I did see someone when we made that 50 Shades of Grey joke said 50 Shanes of Grey, which is very, very good. Also, it's the colour of his hair. So anyway, so Johnny Gargano is sort of like he's almost fallen off the wagon, so to speak. He has, quote, turned heel by, and he attacked Aleister Black in the parking lot. Although to Johnny Gargano, it's not a heel turn because he is righteous in what he has done. And at the War Games show, the fact that he was going too far down into the sort of heel mentality was his undoing, because he couldn't beat Aleister Black, and Aleister Black, quote, absolved him of his sins. But here,
that's the problem, he's absolved him now. Well, so he's fine to crack on.
Well, exactly.
Clean slate, Johnny.
Well, I did think, because there was a moment like before the main event where Percy Watson said, well, Aleister Black has absolved Johnny Gargano of his sins. And you know, and I was like, but he lost to him in the cage match, and Gargano's now the North American champion. So if that was Black's aim, he's done a terrible job.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like Johnny's done more sins.
It's just done more of the sins.
Yeah, Johnny, yeah, just was like, well.
So he didn't go
like normal confession. You just get it out of the way, do some more, go back later. He can have another match against Aleister Black down the line, get reabsolved, and then he'd be like, brilliant.
So he didn't go far enough into the dark side at the War Games match, and that was almost his undoing. But here, he fully embraced the dark side and used... It took him a little while, but he finally used heelish methods, one might say. Or, not so much heelish methods, but champer methods. And he won the North American Championship.
Yes.
He is our new North American Champion. And at the end of the show, when Tommy Ciampa, when Tommaso Ciampa retained his NXT Championship over Aleister Black, as Tommy Ciampa was walking up the stage with his belt, the little graphic came up down below so you knew, well, something else is happening. Out comes Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Takeover, Johnny Champion. And he stands there, they look at each other. Johnny just holds up his belt, and Tommaso Ciampa holds up his belt, and it looks like we've got heel DIY, officially heel DIY, with Gargano really sort of embracing this darker side.
Running the show now at NXT. They are the two most important champions in the men's division. It's
absolutely.
It's the payoff you wanted from this story, and I think it's kind of perfect as well, because it's that. Seeing Johnny now, like, you know, Johnny, old school Johnny, it'd be interesting to see what he says coming out of this, because previously when he was like, I'm the hero, I'm Johnny Takeover, I'm Johnny Wrestling, everybody loves me, his whole point was that he was going to be the one to defeat Tommaso Ciampa. Does he need to now? Will he say that he wants to? I get the feeling like now, this is the actual heel turn, not even... I wouldn't say that the tactics to beat Ricochet were particularly heelish beyond dragging up the mat, and that's just a bit of a I mean, that's more just extreme than being a heel, but the heel turn here is the fact that he's now just mates with Ciampa again. That's the real heel turn of this.
As the brilliance of it is like, but is he mates with Ciampa? Or and so I thought this was a great show, top to bottom.
Yes.
I thought it was an absolutely terrific show. And really, it's a great show because the storyline is being so well told. The video package before the Gargano-Ricochet match was an absolute stroke of genius because the whole video package was built around Johnny Gargano saying these things that he's doing. I'm going to win the North America Championship. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. But you had voice clips of Tommaso Ciampa telling him what to do. Mm. It was like, you should go after the North American Championship, Johnny. And then Johnny going, I'm going to go after the North American Championship. And it's just playing into this. Ciampa is the puppet master in control of Gargano. And there were so many subtle things throughout this show that I absolutely adored. Things like Johnny Gargano did his DIY superkick. He did the whole pose and did the superkick. In the Ciampa match, he tried to do the DIY running knee as if they were both doing the move, but they weren't there in the same match. They both used the exposed concrete. And Gargano, when he had Ricochet beat, he did the suplex onto the concrete. He rolled him back inside, just muttered, I win.
Which is exactly what Ciampa was saying in the Velveteen Dream match. And what Ciampa said at the end of his match as well. It's amazing.
It's such brilliant, subtle storytelling. I absolutely love it.
But they did it again with Johnny's gear as well. So the reference on Johnny's gear was the Dark Phoenix from the X-Men comics, right? Yes. It was the same colour scheme. The logo on the back that said Takeover was the old X-Men font. Great gear.
Amazing gear.
But also excellent storytelling from Johnny, who always does sort of comic book based gear storytelling. We had obviously that transition from Captain America to Venom to the Punisher, although Punisher then Venom, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, that's right.
So Punisher then Venom, and then with this sort of turn, and now Dark Phoenix, which is if you're au fait with comics, is a force outside of Jean Grey that takes control of her and makes her bad.
Brilliant.
And in this situation, I guess, Ciampa is the Phoenix Force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also nice because it was taking place in Phoenix.
Lovely,
really. Just lovely bits of symmetry here. So it was just really sort of fascinating stories told throughout the night. And it does lead to this very interesting dynamic. The landscape of NXT just feels so fascinating at the moment. Particularly, I'd say the landscape feels fascinating, but really it's this one storyline is so captivating. It makes you just want to watch NXT.
Like, yes.
You could, anything else, there could be anything going on in NXT at the moment, but I don't, everything could be awful. I'd still want to watch it because I want to see where this storyline is going.
But it's incredible that you want to watch it anyway because, like, you know, people like the War Raiders and the Undisputed Era who've had a sort of feud, but it's not really much more than the War Raiders really want those titles and they keep coming out and be like, "Ooh, Cross!" They can just walk out the gate on the beginning of the show and just have an absolute barnstorming match and you're just like, "Oh, okay, that's all I wanted."
That was brilliant.
The same as the Danny Burch, Oney Lorcan match from whenever that was, a couple of, like, you know, last three.
Yes, last year.
Yeah. So, like, that's sort of amazing. Just, this is just a match that's being put on with these guys, but it's incredible.
Yeah. Right?
It's baffling.
It's such a captivating storyline within NXT. And I was listening to the Wrestling Observer review, and they were saying, like, oh, this has got to be building to Ciampa and Gargano for the title at WrestleMania weekend, maybe even doing a title versus title thing. But I'm still sticking to my guns here. I think that the draw for selling tickets to the WrestleMania show, NXT TakeOver, Brooklyn 5 or whatever they're going to be calling it, is it's the first DIY match in X amount of years. And you do it as a tag match. You do Johnny and Ciampa versus Black and Ricochet or Black and Dream. I'd imagine it'd be Black and Ricochet. And that's your draw for that show. The main event is the tag match. It's the first DIY tag match in a number of years. Only this time they're a heel act. And then you can elongate the storyline even further to build for when Johnny realizes the thing that he's done is bad, and he goes after, and he, you know, then wins the title from Ciampa, perhaps at the summer show in Toronto.
Yeah.
That's what I would really like. If they do Johnny versus Ciampa at TakeOver Brooklyn 5, I'm gonna be like, I'm not happy with that.
Yeah.
That's still ace.
Yes.
I could just see them really extending out this story even further.
Yeah, I think them having a stranglehold on the division is what I want to see, you know, and I think that then we can start to position other people to be the ones to topple them. And I don't even think, even if at WrestleMania, if it was Ricochet and Black or Ricochet and Dream or whoever doesn't go up now, basically, whoever that is, I don't see them toppling them. I just think their internal implosion will be their downfall. It's not going to be them. You know, maybe one of them loses their title and then the other one then decides they want the other ones.
Yeah.
There's just dynamics there that still needs to be played with. And I think the thing with both of them is when they leave NXT, if they ever leave NXT, it has to be together. It just has to be, you know, they both have to just, because it just has to stop. Like, you know, you can't just... Tommaso Ciampa cannot exist. It's like Batman and the Joker now. One cannot exist without the other because everything they do, the other one is a part of it somehow.
Yeah. It's like Owens and Zayn in that sense. It was an NXT storyline that just carried over into the main roster and like seamlessly so.
Yes.
Like it just naturally flowed into it. And you know that's a storyline that is still ongoing, and I can see the same thing happening here. Is that these two are so intrinsically tied together, as you say, that they have to sort of like continue this storyline through their characters, even if they go to the main roster, or as you sort of like suggested there, if they don't go to the main roster, like Triple H said in an interview quite recently, that there are some wrestlers who aren't going to go to the main roster, and that's not a problem. Like there are some wrestlers who are just. They are NXT wrestlers, and they will have their careers, a very fulfilling career, in NXT.
Yeah, I'm hoping he's talking about Kona Reeves more than he's talking about Gargano.
That's fine, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just hoping he's talking about Kona Reeves here and not saying, like, we'll never get to see Ciampa and Gargano have a match at Mania.
Yeah.
Like, but... I
feel like he was more talking about Walter, really. Where he's like, Walter doesn't want to work.
Well, he doesn't.
WWE,
yeah, exactly. So
he is literally just going to be an.
But
NXT
he's also.
UK.
I think he's also saying it in a sort of like, I'm trying to keep people away from where they get ruined for now. Like until the landscape of actually the management of the company is different.
Yeah.
Sure. Say like some people just won't ever leave NXT because it's not worth their time, we need them to just prop up the cards.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. So I just think it's such a brilliant, brilliant storyline. I could talk about it for hours, really, because I think it, like this will be the most once this storyline is over. That's kind of a brilliant thing of it. It will never be over. But there will be a period of time. Say it's when Gargano wins the belt.
Mm.
If Gargano wins the belt at TakeOver Toronto, which is kind of, you know, if I was to put money on, that's almost the direction I feel like they're going. That's just a, you know, pure speculation on my part. But if we get to that point and Johnny wins the title, if you go right back to the start, this is going to be the most fascinating storyline to chronicle. It'll be the most awesome video package to like go right back to the start of them coming in and telling that story to get to this point. It almost feels like it's a 24 documentary or just like a WWE documentary. You could do such an amazing job with it.
I just think what I'm really excited for now is I feel like we've moved into the end game finally of whatever this whole thing has been. Like we've moved into the bit where we find out what the point was, like, you know, because the point wasn't to put the belt on Johnny when we thought the belt was going to end up on Johnny back at TakeOver Brooklyn 4, was it? Well, that was their title match.
Yes.
Like, that was sort of felt like what might be the end game there. Wasn't. Surprise, surprise. So we've done all this now. We're now getting to the point where, like, they're together. And the only thing that's going to happen here is a sort of dual downfall, I think. A brief period of control and then a slope downwards leading to some sort of implosion, massive match. Can't wait.
I mean, the most frustrating thing about NXT, we'll get into the full review very shortly. The most frustrating thing about NXT, though, is that I want to see where this storyline's going, and that's not going to happen on Wednesday because it's the recap show.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So the show kicked off, as you would expect, with a brilliant video package for the event, which was sponsored by Kingdom Hearts 3.
Mm.
Good sponsor.
Mashup, yeah.
Yeah, good sponsor. It's not a game I'll be playing, but still, good sponsor.
Yeah, I'm not massively into Disney. So.
No. But coming up first, we have got the Undisputed Era versus the War Raiders for these NXT Tag Team Champions. A big Viking opening for the War Raiders. They came out. I've written the joke in my notes, it was like, I wonder how many of these guys will headline a takeover at some point in the future. Because I just assume they were all NXT trainees.
Mm.
Like they usually do for these sorts of things, where you usually just get, hey, who's, you know, it's not, you're not having a match, but you get the experience of going out in front of the crowd.
Yes,
and, you know, it's good to just be backstage to these things.
And it's better to be that than one of the Rosebuds. So,
well, exactly, yeah. Know. Just us Braun Strowmans.
Keep doing this.
But it's, or like CM Punk at WrestleMania 20, whichever one it was, in Chicago, he was out for the John Cena match. But this instead was actually just Rose mates.
Yes.
These were all Rose Viking buddies.
This was his wedding party.
Pretty much, including reportedly Sarah Logan. And in fact, actually, you can see, because you found the image of them backstage hanging out together. Mm. And there's one that's in green that's like leaning down, and you're like, oh, I can see Sarah Logan's dreads there.
Yes.
That is definitely Sarah Logan.
That's full on Sarah Logan. Which is awesome. I think that's such a cool thing to happen as well.
It really is cool.
Yeah, because WWE probably went like, what do you want to do for your entrance? And they probably went like, we'll have Vikings. And WWE's like, cool, we'll start booking, we'll like make some costumes, we'll do something. And Ro just went, ah, we got it.
No,
don't worry, like, I'll get it.
My LARPing party are already on board
this. They've already got the longboat. They're sailing here now.
And he had a great, so they did this big old entrance, and the first thing that Marinella goes is, great, Odin's Raven, which really made me laugh.
He's king of patter, isn't he?
He is indeed, yeah. And I said this in my review, but it reminded me a lot, this match, of the Undisputed Era versus Birch and Lorcan match from, I think it was Chicago last year. I might be wrong on that one, but I think it's Chicago last year. In that, the Undisputed Era are an act that the crowd are just so into.
Mm.
Everyone loves Undisputed Era, which is, you know, understandable. They're awesome.
Yes.
They're really, really cool. But then when you have like a babyface tag team going against them, and the story you are telling throughout the match is that Undisputed Era are beating them down, using heelish tactics, this, that, and the other. But the crowd are really into the heels, and they're not that much into the baby faces.
They absolutely love Undisputed.
Yeah, it almost feels like a bit flat. They did two hot tag spots in this, and it never felt like either of them was a hot tag, because the crowd didn't go like, hey, finally the tag has been made. It was just like, tag.
Yeah, can't wait for Undisputed Era to be back on top after this little bit of
offense. Yeah. Yeah, I want to see what Kyle O'Reilly's going to do.
I think they did very well to turn it around with sheer feats of strength, I think.
Well, that was it.
Which is what I think was so amazing about this was it definitely did feel like that at the beginning. Like, War Raiders came out and got a big pop at the beginning, but it sort of felt like, even though they were the ones that had all the production with theirs, and somehow, when the Undisputed Era came out, their pop was bigger just because Bobby Fish came out holding a little reward that he'd won for a bit, dinged it, and then walked off again.
Yeah, they won the NXT Tag Team of the Year. Mm.
And so, like, they're so over that when the match started, they were the ones getting the chance, they were the ones getting the cheers. Every time they cornered somebody and were keeping them playing keep away, people were well behind them.
Mm-hmm.
War Raiders did amazingly to turn it around just through sheer Hanson cartwheels.
Oh, well, that's it. Yeah, 100%. Because on that second hot tag, which was tepid at best in terms of crowd reaction, like, it just took Hanson, what, one or two moves, and all of a sudden the crowd were like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this is oh, awesome.
I should be paying attention.
And it was just great. Like, they just did all the... Hanson's so good. And he just did all these big moves. He's just running wild. And it was just his running wild. The crowd just started to get to their feet. And they did, like, the assisted power slam and power bomb thing, which is awesome. And then Hanson did an incredible tope. And the reason why it was incredible is because, like, oh, yeah, he's a guy of his size. He's doing a tope. But it wasn't that. He started from the middle of the ring, ran at the ropes, but had still somehow got so much momentum that he flew outside the ring.
Yep.
Usually that would require you to do, like, a big run against these ropes and a big run against the other ropes, like the Seth Rollins-style dive. He just almost looked at them, jumped, and flew through the ring.
And considering he'd already done one where he missed as well, and he, like, clattered into the floor, leaving a dent.
Yeah, like, I just don't know how he got so much momentum from such little, like, distance.
They are, I think those two are incredible athletes. They are just amazingly gifted. Like, Hanson defies his size, and Rowe is unbelievably strong. Like, I mean, like, and I spent a lot of the match also going, my God, Roderick Strong's a big strong boy. But Rowe just goes, like, a lot of this match's sort of its jam was just going, you go over there now. You go over there, and whatever you hit on the way is what you hit. So whether it's Kyle, whether it's the turnbuckle, the ring apron, I don't care. You go over there.
I'm just tossing you over there now. Hope you don't mind.
It was so good.
It was really cool. Love the big superplex by Roderick Strong as well. Like, and that was the match was laid out to really put over the War Raiders. But Undisputed Era did look great coming off the back of this.
Mm.
But War Raiders were made to look really strong. They kicked out, well, Hanson kicked out of the high-low.
Yep.
Which they were putting over massive on commentary. It's like no one kicks out
of that
move.
The first to ever have kicked out of it.
Yeah, really, really cool. And then, yeah, he dodges the second high-low with a cartwheel, which got a massive reaction.
I think it is the most over move that's not really a move in wrestling. And, like, previously, I thought the side effect by Matt Hardy was that move, because it's just a rubbish move that, like, is really over. This cartwheel, so over. That was the biggest pop of the night, was for that little cartwheel. Incredible.
It's so good. It's like when... It was amazing at Chicago a couple of years ago when Tyler Bate did the airplane spin. And we watched this going, like, cannot believe how over an airplane spin is here in 2017 or wherever it was. And here we are in 2019 going, like, can't believe a cartwheel is one of the most over things in wrestling. Yeah, so he did the cartwheel, did a handspring elbow, which got another big reaction. And then they hit the fallout and got the win. Just great stuff. Really, really great. Surprising, though. I mean, we all said in the predictions that we thought the Undisputed Era were going to retain. Yeah. I think we all fantasy booked in our head they were going to have this sort of, like, dominant run where they were going to win all the belts. And yet, here we are. And I was like, huh. And actually, the more I thought about it, I was like, well, I suppose it makes sense for them to win.
Yes,
I didn't really think about that at the time.
I should have thought, realistically, when I was saying that I thought Gargano would win the North American title, that Undisputed Era probably should have dropped theirs.
Yeah.
I think also there is potential, and I know we've saying there's still stuff for them to do in NXT, but with now Gargano and Ciampa sort of having this stranglehold on the division, maybe there isn't that much for them to do anymore. I mean, they've been tag champions for as long as you can be tag champions, so let's just move them on, maybe, is the key. Like, if they can just have a really strong debut on the main roster, you've suddenly got this amazing faction running around doing incredible stuff. And if someone also from the main roster defects and joins the Undisputed Era in the first couple of weeks, that would be an amazing storyline.
Yeah.
I just think the more we leave them in NXT now, the more it feels like, oh, you're not tag team champions anymore.
Very true, very true. And it's always an interesting pay-per-view, the January one, because it's this one and the April, like the pre-WrestleMania ones, that everyone keeps very close eye on who wins and who loses. I made this joke in my review that, like, when Aleister Black lost, it was like, well, let's start the speculation that he's up on his way to the main roster.
Coming to the Rumble.
Which I think is fair enough. Like, there is every chance he could be in the Rumble tonight. And I'm almost expecting him to be in the Rumble tonight.
Just I think it seems smart.
Not as a call-up, but at least as a surprise entrance.
I think he could be in the Rumble as a sort of low-key call-up. And then maybe he could do, like, a couple of matches before here in Mania and then debut properly. But
yeah.
I think the key now is get him off NXT TV, because I actually think the more we play into this storyline, the more you kill his mystique. But we can get onto that a bit later.
Yeah, Well, I mean, I'm still keeping there because I won my tag match that I'm predicting. we had Pete Dunne and Tony Storm in the crowd. Pete Dunne looking bloody miserable as ever.
Forgot to tell his face that it was exciting.
Tony's there.
I think on the inside he was like, wow, this is amazing. But on the outside he's like,
I don't want to be here. I'm not booked on the card. I was in the main event at the last show.
Yeah.
I was stood up on top of that cage with my title. Anyway.
But poor Pete.
We then
you had a takeover this month, mate.
Yeah, come on, mate. You've had yours.
Cheer up.
We then got Matt Riddle versus Cassius Ohno.
Cassius.
In a match that I've heard one review, which is I very much agree with, in that give these two half an hour, they will put on an absolute show, Steve.
Mm.
Like, it's just undisputable fact that these two, Matt Riddle and Chris Hero, they would have an absolutely incredible match. But that match was not this match.
No.
That's because the purpose of this match was not to be that show-stealing match.
Mm.
This match was designed, it went less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
This match was there to put over Riddle strong, and it did that brilliantly.
So I struggled to get into this match, I'll admit.
You in the crowd.
Yeah, there was just something about it that just felt off. I don't know whether it's like, I just don't, for some reason, I just think it's not believable when Ohno starts beating down Riddle and like doing all these, like, I like the sort of mean stuff that he was doing, like the stomping on the foot, the bare foot and all that kind of things. But it just feels, I also think, like, to some degree, there's something about Riddle's character where they're trying to do this, you know, he goes a bit crazy and he's really vicious and he's a brutal combatant. But actually that sits at odds with me with the King of Bros thing, or the original bro, or whatever we're calling him now. Yeah, like,
new nickname.
Yeah, there's just something about that where he just doesn't ever seem like he's tapping into this well of anger. Because even after the finish of this match was that he basically elbow strikes Ohno into tapping out.
Yeah, he elbowed it literally gets death by elbow.
But it gets called off in the same way that like an MMA fight does, where the referee actually just has to physically get between two people, while it's like, no, they're unconscious now, so you have to stop hitting them.
Yeah.
That's the rules. Like, there's not a pinfall, not a proper like tap out. It was literally just like, just get off him. Like,
yeah.
But immediately after that, he just went back to being like, I'm a bro. And I find that a bit more. I'd like to see if we're going to push him to this point of being really aggressive, let's do a bit more with it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think that the brilliance of this match was that at the end of it, Riddle came out looking like an absolute star.
Mm.
In particular, he came out looking like a unique star.
Yes.
Because of that finish.
Yeah, that's a really cool. I thought the playing into the MMA background stuff is wicked.
Because no one else is doing that. Mm. Like, he won by striking him into the point of tapping out.
Yes.
It's a finish that you don't see in professional wrestling, because we're conditioned to, you submit via tapping out. Well, I mean, he did tap out, but that's through a submission move.
Yeah, you pull not their because, arm until it hurts
yeah,
too much.
Not because you're punching them too much.
Yeah.
Like, and it was funny as well, because the way it was shot, and it almost felt like the commentators didn't really know how to call this as a professional wrestling finish. Because the way that it was shot was that he was raining down these elbows on him, and Ohno was tapping out, but the referee couldn't see him tapping out. And then the referee called for the bell. So in my head, as a pro wrestling fan, I was like, oh, he's called for a DQ, but he didn't see that Riddle, that Ohno was tapping out. That's quite a creative finish, actually, because that puts over, that protects Riddle. He did win the match. Ohno was tapping out, but Ohno doesn't lose, or, you know, and things like this and the other. I thought, what an interesting way to do it. And then they just said, no, and Riddle's won. I was like, oh, that's a really unique finish.
Yeah, I don't know why they did the hidden tap and then rolling it through so the referee sees it.
Yeah.
I think they could have just built it up a bit more, like, you know, Ohno's defending himself and then he stops defending himself and then he just taps. Like,
yeah.
That, I think that it would have told the same story. It's weird to do the sort of referee not spotting it
and then spotting it.
Because, yeah, because it did make it feel like the referee called it off for as a DQ.
That's
or
what
as
I thought,
like, a, you know,
yeah.
He's unable to, because we also had like the Bianca Belair passing out in her match. Like, it's, you know, he's unable to compete anymore, so we're calling that. So, like, either do that, like, he's literally knocked him out cold, or make a really big deal of the tap and just be like, Riddle just won't stop raining these blows down, no matter how much like Ohno tries to get out of it, and then he has no choice but to tap really obviously in front of the referee, and then everyone can go what.
And it's interesting for Riddle as well, because the way they were building him in this match, it's almost like he is in line for an NXT championship shot. Like, he has got to be in that main event picture. But then at the end of this show, you're like, there's no room for you in this main event picture, because this main event picture is Ciampa and Gargano. You are not factored into this.
No.
So you're almost looking at Riddle being like, it's, I mean, the way that I'm figuring it, it's probably not until War Games that you're ready.
Yeah.
Like, or not that you're ready, but there is a spot open for you because we've got this other story that we need to tell.
Mm.
And then, so you then start to think like, holy hell, what is Matt Riddle going to do for the next 10 months?
Yeah, they're just sort of, they're hotting him up too quickly, I think, with this stuff. And it's just, yeah, it's just weird to have all these matches where he just sort of like, because he is an amazing wrestler as well. Like, he picked it up like it was nothing. And then he's had all these very long, brilliant matches on the indies. And it's weird to now just be instantly in a program where it's just 10 minutes, really strong finishes against someone like Cassius Ohno, that to feel like it's not ever going to go anywhere for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know what this did, like, beyond it makes him look, it's a cool finish and I like the idea of the MMA style thing, but I wasn't particularly invested in the feud. I don't think the match itself was mega interesting.
Yeah, I think, as you said, like, I mean, the crowd were not buying into these near falls whatsoever.
No.
Absolutely not. Like, I've written at one point here that I think it was like Ohno did a Liger bomb, like, for a quote near fall, because the referee counted nearly three, but the crowd certainly did not buy into it. No one bought into Ohno winning this match, which doesn't help Riddle really in the long run.
No.
But I mean, I suppose it does, because he did still got put over strong, but it's not like people were really, people never thought that Riddle was in trouble.
No. I think also the choice of the sort of vicious stuff that he did in this, there was obviously the kick to the face that has been gift up and all over the internet.
Yes.
Amazing. I love the pulling the ring apron up and putting it over his face and then stomping it. That was really good.
Biting the toes.
Not so much. But also, like, all that stuff where he's like, he's being vicious by, he stood on his bare feet. It's like, well, you should have worn shoes. it just feels like they're trying to make it like, oh, he's being really vicious and doing all this stuff. It's like, you should have just worn shoes. Probably don't come out in pink flip-flops and kick them off into the crowd. So you have to keep buying new flip-flops. That's why you had to get pink ones this time, because they didn't have any green ones left. I don't know what, like, I would like to see Riddle in what feels like a serious feud, where it feels like he's taking it seriously.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's, you know, it's not that he isn't taking it seriously as a person. I think kayfabe-wise, his character is just too relaxed.
Yeah.
And I would like to see him turn it up and be like, I am a bro, but I'm also going to destroy you.
I was going to say, I mean, this is a feud in which there have been three matches and Riddle has won all three of them.
Mm.
Like, this is not a main roster storyline in which they would have gone 50-50 back and forth. This is just, Riddle has dominated this whole feud and he has now won.
Mm. So
it'd be interesting to see where they go from here. We see Tommy Ciampa warming up backstage, and then the Velveteen Dream arrived in a limo with some ladies.
Scarlet Pimpernel.
Yeah, and he was upset that he wasn't booked for the show.
Mm.
And I think this is the first time that they've referenced the Worlds Collide as a thing.
Mm.
And it's happening this, well, it's happened yesterday and today, I guess.
Yes.
And then it airs next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the results from yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want me to spoil them? I probably won't spoil them.
Yeah, let's not spoil them here. Because
I mean, it's difficult because there's obviously lots of people are winning. So,
yeah. Yes.
But it's an interesting mix of people that are winning. It's not actually everyone you would expect.
Mm, cool.
But then there are plenty of people you would expect.
Yeah.
It's a big tournament.
So we all predicted that Matt Riddle would get the win there. Obviously, this ties into the overall Wrestle League predictions. Spoilers for the end of this show. Me and Laurie here leading the way on joint points, and Ollie is 1 point behind us. So it really is all coming down to the Royal Rumble tonight.
Not keen.
Well, do you know what's funny as well? Because I've seen some people send, like, they've written some comments saying, like, you doing a music video is not a punishment because you enjoy it. Could not be further from the truth.
Yeah.
I do not enjoy doing them. I don't enjoy,
just because you put effort into something doesn't mean you enjoy it.
Like, and that's my deal with it. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work that I really can't be bothered to do.
Yeah. Put a lot of time into housework, but I don't like it.
Absolutely.
I just want a clean house.
Yeah. Also, I want to win.
I really want to win.
Thank God. The North American, also, it's funny when Ollie does it. It's next up, it's the North American Championship match. Johnny Gargano versus Ricochet. You were the only person who predicted that Gargano would come out with a win here,
yes.
So well done you. I think we kind of talked about sort of the majority of this match already, but this was a match that it was everything you would expect and so much more.
Mm.
Like, it was all your big flippy doos, it was all your big moves, it was like some excellent storytelling throughout. The costumes were brilliant in terms of like We talked about how Ricochet came out, not Ricochet, Johnny Gargano came out dressed like Dark Phoenix. Ricochet had Spider-Man themed gear, so they're all comic book nerds.
I think he also a little bit looked like Eddie Murphy from the Delirious tour, like to me, because there was like the red pleather thing.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
But it was Miles Morales colours as well, so it was the ultimate Spider-Man rather than regular Spider-Man, which was really cool.
It was cool. And the crowd were really split throughout this match, really into both guys, chanting for both these guys, fight forever, this is awesome. Just an absolutely brilliant match.
I felt massively bad for whatever was following this, which we knew was the women's championship match. But then I was also like, do you know what? Even Aleister Black versus Tommaso Ciampa are going to have a hard time topping this. It was like... I said on Twitter that Johnny and Ricochet brought the house down, and every other match would just be fought in the rubble. There was nothing you could do. Like, they've just put on an absolute showcase of amazing high spots, really well thought out counters and trickery. There's an amazing bit where Ricochet goes for a handspring, and as he comes back, Johnny catches him on the side, rolls it immediately into the Gargano escape. Ricochet locks on the Gargano escape at one point, and Johnny has to crawl. For some reason, he decides to crawl the entire ring to the other ropes rather than just going to the ones right behind him. But
it took him so long to crawl that Ricochet gave up.
Yeah, Ricochet. he was crawling so long that Ricochet, I think his legs got behind him in the sort of like shuffling. And he was just like,
I can't be bothered to do this move anymore, whatever.
It was so good. There were feats of strength from Ricochet that was just, brilliant little frustration storytelling from Johnny. Like,
There was a moment in which... Gargano went to do a Frankensteiner, and Ricochet just flipped out of it and landed on his feet because he is a video game, and he's just like, whatever.
I've seen Ricochet retweet that this morning or like tweet about it, and he just said, not good, caught my foot on the top rope, and everyone was like, mate, don't be so hard on yourself, like, it was still pretty cool, like,
because
he does land like that and then stand straight up again. So it wasn't quite the Will Ospreay spot.
No, exactly.
From New Japan. But.
Or like the big flip that he did in the Velveteen Dream thing, where he flipped over the ropes to cut the promo.
It worked perfectly, though. It was still like like the crowd loved that moment. Like, the just him striding, standing up in the middle of the ring, Johnny in the corner like, what?
Yeah, and it was the total opposite to the War Raiders and Undisputed Era match, in which the crowd were just like, we really love Undisputed Era, and War Raiders are fine. Oh, now we're really getting into this. This was just the crowd were just so into both guys. They wanted this match to like really succeed and go above and beyond. So the crowd started at 10, and they were like at 11 and 12 by the end of it. They were like absolutely rabid for this finish.
No wonder they were exhausted.
That's it, isn't it? And there was just the brilliant storytelling of the end of Johnny Gargano using the concrete against like his better judgments, finally succumbing to it, doing the thing like, I win. Oh, man, I just absolutely love it. Although I did think, because like he did the suplex to the to the concrete floor. I did things like, do something, ref. Like, can stop this. DQ him. If it bothers, because the ref's going like, no, don't. If it bothers you that much, ref, do something about it.
The problem is, it's not a weapon. It's just you fell there. Like,
where are we gonna draw a line in the sand with what these rules are?
You know, you gotta have leniency.
I guess so. It is a championship match. It means more. So yeah,
there was an amazing. There was a bump that Johnny took that was like the most painful looking thing I've seen on a takeover for a long time.
Which one?
So he gets spilled to the outside by Ricochet, and he hits his ribs on the apron as he goes down. But the acceleration from the point where he hits his ribs to him going to the floor is like he just goes.
It was crazy. I'm
surprised he got through the rest of the match with that. I just looked at that. I was like, that's a broken rib, surely.
Yeah. Like, this was an absolutely awesome match. It'll be a match that would likely be talked about in like top matches, top WWE matches at the very least by the end of the year. And it's just...
I mean, it stands in good stead to win the top NXT match, because that's, you know, this is how early into the year last year the Gargano Almas match was.
Exactly, so. Andrade, please.
Oh, sorry. I'm using his old name.
it really does feel like it's going to be one of those things. And Brian Alvarez of Figure Four posted up on Twitter that Johnny Gargano is the American Kazuchika Okada. And it's just, and I didn't really think about it until he mentioned it. I was like, God, you're right. Just someone you can, like, go out there and have a 5-star match. He goes, okay.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, yeah, just like, I'll put you in the ring with literally anyone. Go out and have a 5-star match. Mm. Or a 4.5-star match. It's like, okay.
He seems like it's that sort of thing with Johnny where it actually the longer he's in NXT, the more it's revealed that he seems to be this mastermind of coming up with inventive spot after inventive spot after inventive spot. And obviously, like, because the story's the biggest in NXT, they're probably getting a lot of, like, input from other people saying, like, this little bit of storytelling, this little thing. But just the way that the matches are pieced together when he's in them. And you can tell the difference between that and, like, seeing Ciampa in his title match against Black here. Like, Johnny just seems like he's on another level of invention just in the ring. And obviously working with someone like Ricochet, who can just, if you just go, here's an idea, he probably just goes, yeah, I can do that. Like, he doesn't, you want me to break the laws of physics? Fine. Yeah.
They present the ideas to it. It's like, I could put an extra flip in if you'd like. Can you?
How many rotations would you like on that, sir?
So, yeah, awesome, awesome match. Johnny Gargano is your new NXT North American champion. So, a belt that is less than a year old and has already had 3 title holders.
Mm.
Interesting.
And also had 3, like, multiple match of the year contenders.
Yeah, right.
Like,
So next up, we had Shayna Baszler versus Bianca Belair for the NXT Women's Champion. Couldn't have felt like more sorry for these two.
Yeah.
Bless their hearts. I think they did a really solid job.
Yes.
But this crowd were worn out.
Yeah.
They were absolutely knackered.
They needed another filler match. They needed another Riddle Ono here, 10 minutes, and something. Stick it on there.
I've got to say, I'm actually almost surprised they didn't structure it that way and do the Riddle Ono match because it only went 10 minutes and do that bit here. So, I mean, I get that it's the importance of putting the women's championship in the second slot, you know, the second main event slot.
Mm.
So I completely get that as the penultimate match. But in terms of trying to get the crowd on side for these girls, particularly Belair, who is inexperienced in takeovers, it almost felt like this needed to go earlier in the night.
Yeah.
Because they worked a very, very solid match. A very well worked match with a very, very good story in it.
Yes.
But the crowd weren't really that into it.
There's
I think they picked up in the final 5 minutes, the crowd, that is.
Yeah.
But I think for the majority of this match, they weren't really that into it.
It's a shame, really.
It's
because
a shame.
I mean, the problem is also, like, on the come down side of after Johnny and Ricochet, Baszler's style is methodical and slow and about, like, gross out limb manipulation, awesome spots, but they are what they are. They are very, like, you know, I'm doing this to show dominance, and this is kind of, I'm working you like that, and then you will eventually get hot when Bianca starts to fight back towards the end. And that's exactly what happened here, but just because everyone was already fatigued, people were a bit more like, don't really have time for this now.
Yeah.
I'm just quite sleepy.
I'm quite sleepy. I'm very tired.
I can't need the toilet after the Ricochet thing. So, like, I just...
There was a moment when they were showing a replay, or it might have not been a replay, but it was a shot of when Tommaso Ciampa was holding up his title.
Mm.
And there is someone in the background you can see, like visibly yawning.
Yeah.
Oh, bless them.
Well, it's like, you know, there's only so long you can keep adrenaline going.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, it's that sort of, like, if you've been hyped for an hour, you're going to be on the crash on the way down. So you just, by the time you get to the end, you're just like, oh, I am into this, but I'm incredibly sleepy.
I'm very tired. I've been here for a number of hours. I'm very tired. But the very good story they told throughout this match was that Belair is in over her head, essentially. And she came out quite strong, but Baszler then just sort of, like, she dominated, but then Baszler was just, like, just took over.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about, like, Belair went in there with all of the pomp and circumstance of, like, I am undefeated. And then Baszler was like, no, 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 mate. I'm going to slap you down. You are overrated. And that was the story they told throughout this match. So I thought they did very, very well.
It was really good because in the beginning of the match, like, Baszler's trying to be aggressive and in her face in the same way that she bullied Dakota Kai. Belair has none of it for the first bit, and she's, like, doing cool athletic spots of flipping out. There was a cool bit where she just did sort of turnbuckle up and overs, but with a few flips in between and stuff like that, which was really wicked. And then everything turns around, and she's, like, standing in the middle of the room doing all her poses and not really caring. And it all turns around when she tries to escape through the turnbuckle on the outside.
Yeah.
And Baszler grabs her hair.
Yeah.
To stop her running away, and then drags her back into the post, injuring her arm, which then Baszler spends the rest of the match working over.
Yeah.
And it's just that is brilliant ring psychology, because it's just, Baszler is a machine that will just come after whatever your weakness is.
Yeah.
And as soon as she identified that, the match changed completely.
Yeah.
And it was a very gutsy showing from Bianca Belair, and exactly what she needed.
Well, I was going to say, credit to Bianca Belair, because I was the only person in our predictions that had Baszler down to retain. And while I was looking at this, I was like, we are in the fourth match of this card. I've only got like one match right.
Yeah.
I was like, I need a win here.
Yeah.
Like, because I was like, if Bianca Belair...
Come on, Baze.
I was like, if Bianca Belair wins, I'm knackered. Like, yeah. I'm totally screwed. Because Ciampa's definitely retaining in the main event. Mm. So I'm screwed if Belair wins here. So I was really... I was proper pulling for Shayna to win.
Mm.
But credit to Bianca Belair, she made me believe that she was going to win.
Yes, she did.
There were so many points in this where I was like, she is going to win. And like, I think she is a real, real talent. Velveteen Dream-like, really, where she is so young, but has just picked this game up so, so quickly and is already feels like they've been doing it for decades in terms of how they're telling these stories. And it all boils down to the fact that at the end of the match, the referee gets knocked down. Bianca Belair hits her KO. I think we're saying KOD. We're still not entirely sure.
I think it's KOD.
Is it KOD?
It's Kiss of Death, I think.
So she does that. I thought it was the KOB or whatever it was. Anyway, so she does her move. And she gets the visual pin, but the referee's down, so the crowd are counting along. Belair just gets frustrated. She starts screaming like, you idiot, I've won this match. And then here comes Shafir and Duke, but Belair... she survives.
Yes.
She just takes both of them out. Marina Shafir obviously got herself injured, broke her face.
From the looks of it.
In the Kairi Sane Io Shirai match.
Or she's got some interesting new ring gear.
Could well be. She looked at Steve Cutler in The Forgotten Sons and was like, that is a look I'm going to go for.
I like this.
Yeah.
Get me one of those Zorro masks.
Get me a mask, will you? It's getting Io Shirai over. I want one of my own. So she overcame that. Then Baszler locks in the Kirifuna clutch, and you're like, okay, well, this is it. But oh, no, no. Belair just, like, she stands up out of it. It's so, so impressive. And you're like, she could win here.
Yeah.
So many times where I was like, she's going to win. And she hits this deadlift suplex out of it. I was like, that's incredible. Mm. She made a complete believer out of me. And then she locked in the Kirifuna clutch again. I was like, okay, well, now it's over. And Belair stands up again. I was like, no, come on. And then she just collapses. I thought it was such a great finish.
I think it was really good. It was the only way someone who is undefeated could be defeated, I think, and still be like, well, I don't think that hurts them at all.
Nope. And she got the visual pin as well.
Yeah, better than Asuka losing a streak.
100%.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly better than when Asuka lost her streak, which really did feel like a damp fart.
Yes, yeah.
It was like she tapped out by accident.
Yeah. I'd forgot that. You never explain it. If I do that, that means I give up. I wasn't given that.
Or she tapped out for realsies. It was like, actually, stop it.
Ooh.
So we now get our main event of the evening. Tommaso Ciampa versus Aleister Black for the NXT Championship. We all had Tommaso Ciampa down to win this, which I think then puts you and I on 33 and Ollie is on 32. Good match. Really, really good match again. And very similar to the Baszler-Bianca Belair match. It's all about working over a certain limb.
Yes.
And it was a wonderful bit of storytelling. Black does a big flip dive to the outside, and he sort of tweaks his knee. But he doesn't really sort of make a big deal of it. But Nigel is making a massive point of it on commentary. He's like, you can see the way he lands. You can see the way he sort of gets up. He's limping a little bit. And you're like, okay, well, he's not really selling that at the moment, so that's just Nigel just trying to make something on commentary.
Yeah.
But then that does become the match, because then Ciampa almost like smells blood in the water and goes after that leg. So it's...
In increasingly inventive ways.
Yeah, right? So it's... Ciampa going after the leg because he's tweaked it, but also he's on a base when he does his finishing move. If you take out the leg of Aleister Black, or the legs of Aleister Black, he's got, in theory, nowt else. His finishing move is literally his legs.
Yeah.
I
will put one of them in your face.
Yeah. So I thought it was a really, really smart match in terms of that. And it was a great spot in where Ciampa... because he's on top and he's feeling very, very confident with himself, just goes and sits up on the announcer's table and has a big swig. Well, they kept saying table on commentary, is what I'm saying. He took a big swig of water and did his big old applause.
Pat himself on the back.
So, so great. And then, in something I never thought I would see, we had Chekhov's water. Because Black kicks the bottle out of his hand and he sprays water everywhere, and it's a lovely little spot. But later on in the match... Black finally overcomes this leg injury to do the triangle moonsaults. Mm-hmm. And then as he throws Ciampa back into the ring, he slips on the water.
Yeah.
Which is a very momentary distraction. And it feels like it's a slip up because it's just like, whoop, he slipped on the water, didn't see that there. But it was intentional because he rolled back into the ring, ran straight into Ciampa doing the fairy tale ending.
Mm.
What a brilliant little move. Like, I never, when he knocked the water out of his hand, I never thought, well, that'll come into play later
on. Yeah, yeah. I'd imagine the cleanup crew would have got there quicker. What you didn't see was 500 aides holding back the staff at the venue who were like, we'll get that, we'll get notes. Yeah. Oh, not now!
Not yet. So yeah, I thought there was some really, really cool stuff in here. Just a really, really fun match. Tower of London as well. Nice little call out to Nigel McGuinness, which I thought was very cool. I thought it was a really wicked match. Excellent finish as well.
Yeah, I liked it.
Great finish.
This is why now I think that it's time to move Black on as quickly as possible, because he's had a couple of this was actually a loss where the last loss he had was because of interference, which is fine when you're the sort of dominant strong one, and the loss before that was also because of interference. This is his first kind of fairly clean loss. You know, this is
complete. I would argue that he lost. He lost as clean as clean could be.
Yeah, beyond the slip up, and you know, there wasn't
the concrete, which actually was his own doing.
Yeah, but yeah, we've decided that the concrete is just, it's not a DQ,
no.
So it's not cheating. It's just an extra help.
Exactly. Ciampa revealed up the concrete, but then he started arguing with the referee, and Black did the double knees off the apron onto Ciampa, which again hurt his knees when he landed on the concrete. So really,
that was his own fault.
It's his own fault.
That
mate.
Was his own fault.
If your knee is hurting, don't do a knee-based move.
Yeah, don't jump into concrete.
Exactly. So yeah, really, really cool ending where he's going for the second black mask. Because you said earlier when we were just in the office getting images for Together Review, you're like, it's the greatest black mask I've ever seen in my life.
It was the first black mask was incredible. And I mean, like, we've seen some amazing ones. Like the one that he gave to Johnny Gargano, his selling of that was incredible. This one just felt like, and this.
And you're dead.
But that was an amazing moment as well in this match, because he hits the black mask, Ciampa falls down out cold right onto his back. His knees give out from doing the move, and he has to crawl to get to Ciampa, who, just as he goes to put the arm across to get the pin, just manages to roll onto his side.
Oh my god, it was so,
it's so good. Simple. It's so,
so good.
Good.
I loved that spot so much. It was just awesome.
I mean, yeah, I think, but this match now just says to me, Aleister Black is done in NXT. I don't think we'll ever get back to the Aleister Black who had the insane run to get to the title with just killing people with that finisher. And I just think, it didn't make him look weak, but I think after the knee spot, I was a bit like, well, he looks a little dumb now. Like, he's continuing to sort of keep bashing his own knees against stuff now and keep using knee-based moves.
Yeah.
So change up your offense.
So he goes for a second black mask, but Ciampa pulls the referee in front of him, so Black sort of stops doing that. And then it's like, I don't know how they did this, but he rolled him into a draping DDT.
It was so good. Yeah, it was so cool.
Like, when Randy Orton does the draping DDT, it always looks like he literally throws them through and be like, I am now going to put you into this position. These two were inside the ring, yet somehow managed to get Black into the perfect position to do the draping DDT.
Yeah, so like Ciampa had sort of like whipped his legs over his head and he sort of rolled back into the and he's like, I've got you now.
I've got you in the move.
Again, a level of invention in NXT wrestling where you're just like, that's just a cool way of getting into that thing. Like, I think there's a sort of iteration with the guys in NXT where they go, well, these are my moves, but how do I get into them in a different way? Like, how do I keep... It's like they're playing games with themselves to be like, well, how do I just make this interesting?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Yeah, so good.
And, I mean, Black certainly did look strong coming out of this finish, it has to be said, because he essentially kicked out of three fairy tale endings.
Mm. Two, and then...
Well, two, yeah, because he hits the third one, and then maintains fairy tale control, I guess. It's like maintaining risk.
The fairy
control.
Lock, I think it's called.
And then lifts him up to do another one, but Black gets out of it and tries to hit the black mask, but his knee gives way. And that allows Ciampa to hit the fourth fairy tale ending and get the win. No Gargano interference at all, which is what I think a lot of people sort of predicted might happen.
Yes, yeah, I thought that was going to happen.
Same here. But yeah, so he wins, as you say, like as clean can be. There was no
when Ciampa's involved. Yeah,
yeah, there was no real shenanigans here. But I do think the Black certainly didn't look weak coming out of this. So like,
no.
You know, he kicked out the move three times, more or less. You know, you could argue. And I do think that they're still going to continue the storyline. I don't think that Black is coming up for the Rumble.
You don't?
I don't think. Having said that, I'm waiting now. This will be one of those times. So way back when me and Ollie were doing the old movie shows for another YouTube channel, we reviewed a Batman v Superman trailer. And it was the one before the big reveal of Doomsday.
Right.
And we recorded it the day before that had came out. And I said in that review, they're not doing Doomsday. There is absolutely no...
Darkseid?
No, Doomsday. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Oh, right, yes, yeah.
And I said, category in that video, I was like, they're not doing Doomsday. It would be so stupid to do Doomsday in a movie where you're doing Batman v Superman. Like, that's your draw. Mm. You don't need to then have Batman and Superman v Doomsday. Like, the film is called Batman v Superman. The next day, the trailer revealed Doomsday is there, and I was like...
Because they're good guys,
we haven't even posted the video yet, and already I've said that he's not in it.
Yeah, so Alistair Black will be...
So he'll be in the Rumble tonight.
He'll be added to the poster in 5 minutes' time.
He'll make his main roster debut tonight because I'm an idiot. But for me personally, I think that there is still... Alistair Black's story is not quite finished yet. I think it's going to finish at the next TakeOver event, which I do think will be a tag match, but I know it's just speculation. Mm. But I think they're leading towards a tag match. Because at the end of the show, it ends with, as we've been talking about, Gargano and Ciampa raising their titles together. But then the show goes off the air. And unlike a TakeOver show, that little end graphic, actually, like, that was the end.
Yeah.
But there was more.
Yeah.
There was actually more happening.
A WWE.com exclusive.
Yeah, a big brawl broke out. Velveteen Dream comes out and he starts arguing with Ciampa and Gargano. Mm-hmm. Then Aleister Black comes up. Adam Cole comes out. Ricochet comes out. And it ends in this big sort of six-person brawl, which sort of spills out into the back. Apparently it spills out into the thing. Triple H had to come out and break it up and things like that. So it's going to be it'll be a big deal come Wednesday. You can go to WWE.com or on their YouTube channel, and it's already there for people to see. I feel like that's already setting up your storylines that are going to be then going into TakeOver Brooklyn 5. I'm calling it Brooklyn 5. I don't think they've officially called it that yet, but I'm going to hazard a guess that's what it's called. Where you could do the tag match of DIY versus Black and Ricochet and Dream versus Adam Cole in a number one contenders match for the NXT Championship.
That's interesting.
So that's perhaps something.
Yeah, I think it was... Because they said they had something more for Dream to do, but it fell through, right, on the conference call.
Yeah, Triple H said that
this could just been chucked in there for like, well, you were here, so you go get involved.
Yeah, Triple H said on the conference call that we had a plan for the Velveteen Dream. We had something big in mind, but it didn't come through. Mm. So who knows what that could have been.
Someone coming in, like Cena or someone, I imagine.
Could have been. So yeah, so I overall thought it was an excellent, excellent show. So in terms of our bonus predictions of who will be in the crowd, none of us said Pete Dunne or Tony Storm.
Or the Velveteen Dream,
Yeah, we had Kushida, ACH, or Ronda Rousey. So, unfortunately, neither of us got a bonus point there.
But I'm confident about my bonus point for tomorrow now that Pete Dunne has been seen in the crowd. It means he's in the US, conveniently.
Well, they all are, because they're doing an NXT UK taping.
Oh, and obviously they're doing the World's Collide tournament. Thing, yeah. So, yeah, I just feel like I'm confident now that Pete Dunne may be making an appearance in the Rumble.
Mate, as I said to you earlier, it'll be Tyler Bate now.
Yeah.
Just to wind you up even further.
It'll be Walter, yeah. Famously said he doesn't want to work for the main company or go to America.
God, if it's Walter and then he wins, it's the best company in the world.
So I love you, WWE, and I forgive you for everything.
Every single thing you've done bad, I think you're now the best.
You are fickle.
So that is technically the end of the show, but I didn't want to get out of here before. It's your birthday today, man.
Hey.
Happy birthday, Laurie.
Thank you.
I know we're all going to have comments that are talking about how we all really enjoyed the show, but I think we should all be giving, you know, happy birthday messages to Laurie Blake, who's coming to work on his birthday.
Because he's sad.
Because you're a good, good dude. But also, and because we're not recording a podcast, I'm just going to give you your present now.
Oh.
So usually we do this on the podcast, but...
Oh, you wrapped it so well. Thank
I did
you.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
You're welcome, man.
It's Keyforge.
Keyforge cards.
Yes, wicked, mate. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
You've got enough to play. Do you want a game now?
Well, actually, I bought three packs because I wanted a pack of my own.
We'll play at lunchtime.
So that is all we've got time for on this show. Thank you so much for watching. We all hope you enjoyed NXT TakeOver. The Royal Rumble is tonight. And if you want to get involved in the predictions for that, head on over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk and become one of our awesome pledge hammers. There'll actually be a button right here that you can click that will take you directly through to it. Become one of those. Join in the league. You've still got a few hours to join in. We have had, I think Randy Datson said, we've had over 500 people join in this league. So it's going to be awesome leading into WrestleMania, because if you think like that's 500, there might even be more by the time we get to Mania when the first season ends.
And then we can come number 500 in the list.
No, knowing us, we'll come right in the middle. We'll be 250.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.